It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Yeah, we're not afraid here and declare your independence. Me, Ernest Hancock, Mr. Robert Anderson, getting his name on a list here with me today. And then we have Jeff Greenspan, definitely another man on the list. You know, we had on here, we were going to have Scott Horton from antiwar.com and Angela Keaton. We're going to talk to them, and I guess we missed that. It was a 15-minute thing. I apologize. We'll get them back next week. We'll work on that. I wanted to talk to them about this war thing going on. So, I mean, there's so much. You know, we have so many things that are going on that what's happening is it's easy to kind of slip things between the cracks. You know, we got this oil spill, we'll get into that someday. There's so many conspiratorial kind of stuff going on. We got North Korea saber-rattling with South Korea. We got, you know, it's going to have a war where you're going to have a war. You need to have a war where you got tens of thousands of U.S. troops on the border. That's where you got to have a war. You know, we got to, you know, we're talking about pulling them out. We got to get that. Can we not be in Japan and Germany and Korea and everything? Oh, no. You know, we have Japan, we have prime ministers running on the thing that we're just going to get the U.S. out of here. You know, they're just shutting. All of a sudden, they go, ooh, wait a minute. Korea and China are doing something here. They're launching missiles over Japan. We kind of know. Maybe we'll just go ahead and extend this relationship we have with the U.S. military. Okay. Then we have conspiratorial. You know, we put it up, and I put it up as, if this is propaganda or not. But they're going, yeah, there was a North Korean kind of a sub thing going to Venezuela, a little peeled off, a suicide mission going, blow it up, kind of boom, you know, And as you get more evidence, I mean, what evidence? I mean, you don't know. You don't know. Were you there? Were you out in the middle of the ocean? You don't know nothing. You know, you have no idea. Plus, it was 5,000 feet below the surface. You know, whatever happened. So I'm just, I'm just, and then we got, a whole bunch more problems. Let me tell you what I want. I want there to be total free market on this stuff. What happens if you have the actual cost of oil? What happens if you have to, Texaco has to have their own submarines protecting their fleets? What happens when the Exxon Valdez got its own 16-inch gun on it? What happens when they got to have, their own cannon for their Yankee trader go out and do and take care of their own damn self? Okay? Then you'll find out what a barrel of oil really costs. Because when you go factoring in all of the VA care for people that get out of the service, that are injured, they're hurt, their life insurance policies to their loved ones, their training, that go out there to be in these bases all over 100-something countries and 700-something bases. I mean, it just goes on and on and on and on. And you go, you know what? There's about another $150 a barrel of oil on top of whatever you're paying for it. I'm going, and that's cheap? I don't think so. You know, think about it. China, how many armies they got in the Middle East or in Africa? None. It's cheaper for them. Just go buy it. They go, heck, we'll just go buy it and do the infrastructure and help and this and make a deal and so on. Oh, and by the way, they probably don't hate us none too much neither. You know, what is the thinking here? What is the thinking? So just like when they passed the Patriot Act that was sitting on the shelf waiting, that was stuff that came from the Clinton administration, just sitting up there waiting. They have 9/11. They're going, regardless of what your opinion is on how 9/11, I tell you this, what the 9/11 Commission, the government says, that ain't what happened. Liars. I mean, I'll give you that right there. You want to talk about 9/11? You tell me where all the molten metal came from, and then we can go on to something else. Till then, I don't even want to talk about it. All right. So what happens is you have an opportunity for them to pass a Patriot Act that gave them all this kind of surveillance on everybody. Where do they get the information? Who to even surveil? How do they get tapped into the lines? AT&T is like they had a little special room. Heck, AT&T was the freaking government. And still are, I'm sure, you know. But you know that was it. Telecommunications, we know what they are. So what happens is I'm going, all right, here comes the Patriot Act. You think it was to protect us from the terrorists? No, it was to protect the government from us. That's why they need. This is not about immigrants. It's about protecting the infrastructure, the status quo, the politics. It's to protect them from us.
1975, one of my favorite movies of all time, called 3 Days of the Condor with Robert Redford.
I remember that.
In 1975, it was all about oil and whatever, what Ernie's talking about here. But in the show, kind of towards the end, two-thirds in, they reveal the fact that all the telecommunications are run in conjunction with the government. Every phone, everywhere, every switch. So I just think that's kind of
it always was. You know, I remember I was a kid. One of the first movies kind of a political message I remember, it was Cliff Robertson. Okay. That what was funny is later he was an AT&T spokesperson, but this was back in the early 70s or something. And at the end, there's this, I think it was a man called Flint, or, you know, it was one of those kind of things, but it was a spy deal. And they're going, trying to find out who the bad guys were. They're following the conspiracy. They're going. And finally, they get to the center, inner sanctum of the whatever the heck it was, this room. And it's Cliff Robertson, Robertson sitting there, you know, telling them kind of his robotic whatever. And he's having a conversation with this guy, and finally, what the heck? There's something wrong here. And he goes around and he sees a cable coming out of the back of his right shoe. He's a robot, and he was part of the telecommunications thing. And I'm going, and then he becomes a spokesperson for AT&T. It's like they're laughing at us, man. You know, it's just they're playing with us.
Well, talking about so many things coming at us so fast. Remember how everybody organized to fight the Trans-Texas Corridor in Texas?
We got
one right here. It's called Canamex. It's been up on the web for 8 years. It's called the Canamex Corridor.
No, I drive on it all the time, northwest of Wickenburg.
The new property tax proposals that they're coming out here with in Arizona are specifically in conjunction with this new immigration law and national IDs for Arizona citizens to have open border checkpoints so trains can go right through, travel can go right through, as long as you're a quote-unquote trusted traveler with one of those national ID enabled Arizona driver's licenses.
If
down
not
to Guiana's.
If not even your chip. You know, we have friends.
Well, that's what'll happen. It'll be like speed pass on the freeway.
No,
you'll just
exactly
get your
right.
chip and you'll be able to go right through.
Oh, yeah. It's convenient. You know, of course. Of course.
You got nothing to hide, citizen.
Well, of course. You gave us all your goodies. You know, a little DNA, too. What the heck? You know, this is what's coming. You know, it's Canamex is a, I remember this was a big deal a long time ago. And what it is they want to, whether they do it as this Amero thing or North American Union or whatever, they already did it. You know, it's like this, you know, we'll never have real ID. Well, no, because you already had Western Hemisphere Travel Initiative. You know, they already have this stuff.
There's just some implementing measures they still need to pass, and of course, they call it something other than what it really is.
Well, this Texas corridor thing, I even get people, see, they stopped it, and you're still complaining. I'm going, oh, right. You know, they're just going to blow it off. All that eminent domain they did, all that big giant land grab, they got all these investments from Spain, all of the, you know, they're just going to, and pack it up and leave.
Well, they got caught renaming it once already, and now they think they put it on hold temporarily, but it'll be back, just like Canamex is being built right now. But where are the Patriots stopping Canamex?
You know, part of Canamex is the bridge that's going over by Hoover Dam. You know, they have, you know, I'm like, yay, you know, I got a bridge there, and about time, you know, I'm tired of doing the switchback and so on, going up there. But, you know, that's all part of this. This has always been the plan. It was for them to go from the Gulf of California. You know, there's various different ports there because L.A. is so busy and it has too much and it costs too much and regulation and blah, 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 blah. You know, they're going, you know, it's even closer. They come around the Panama Canal. They go up the Gulf of California. They go in the Hermosillo or
Guaymas.
You know, whatever. There's a bunch of, you know, gazillion ports in there, you know, whichever one's cheaper. They go in and they have a highway that goes straight from that port all the way up to Mexico. I mean, to Canada.
Train and highway.
And it's going right through Arizona here, and they won't even talk about it yet. This is all a game. And what I talked to this guy named Shuna Ono. Shuhei Ono. He is the head of Reform America, immigration, blah, blah, blah. The guy's behind all the people camping down at the state capitol. Now, of course, they want to argue for, you know, these people have families here. They have anchor babies. They got, you know, had children. That's one other thing. Russell Pierce wants to retroactively take citizenship away from
and you know, that sound,
people born here.
That sounds good from the conservative, patriot, pro-Constitution standpoint,
no,
except when you think about the new Belligerence Act that McCain passed. So what they're going to implement at the state level is the same thing that McCain-Lieberman are trying to implement at the federal level, where by executive order or executive decision, the executive branch of government can rescind the citizenship of an American citizen who they suspect or allege, according to executive decision-making, might be a terrorist.
Yeah, enemy combatant
become,
thing.
Become a man without a country.
And they're using illegal immigration again to implement the same thing at the state level.
Oh, where's your principles? Do you think you know what's going on? You think you do. You got just enough information to be dangerous. You got bullet points from Fox and Rush and Sean and, you know, Hand, whatever. You know, you're sitting there to go, yeah, well, they said.
There are those that just want to be left alone. And those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
Yeah, we're back here on Declare Your Independence. Me, Ernest Hancock, Jeff Greenspan, my good friend Robert Anderson, Mr. Anderson. And we're just discussing what's really coming. You know, this is one of the final things that need to happen before it gets really, 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 really bad. You know, there was, you sit and you wonder as a kid when you study, I'll tell you the story. This is good. I was in Michigan this last weekend doing, you know, run for a national chair thing and doing no compromises, go after the man, oppose the cult of the omnipotent state, this adoration, this worship of this all-powerful, all-knowing state. And who did they have? They had Lawrence Reed is the president of FEE, the Foundation for Economic Education. And he told the story of how he got involved in libertarian politics. And he gave a big, you know, no compromise. Don't, if you ever compromised, then, you know, that's bad. And what's the point? And no compromise. It was, and I was sitting there grinning the whole time because he wasn't there during the debate before. Well, this was everything I've been saying, you know, and I'm just, the only question I had, well, what about the people that say we're a political party and we should, you know, compromise to get elected? Well, of course, he, you know, slapped him down for that one. So it was good. And I go, I'm good. It's time to leave. And I was he gave his testimony, I would guess. And he told about he went and saw in the early 60s The Sound of Music. And he lived in his father was a owner of a small hardware store and a business, you know, kind of orientation. And he was very affected by that movie because he saw that, you know, this Nazi thing, they were going in, making people work, drafting people to go in the army. You had all this fascism. And he's like, ew, you know. So, of course, he's interested in this. He started reading everything on it. You know, of course, you know, 13-year-old kids always about, you know, war. But he reads all that. It just fascinated him. And then he saw freedom breaking out in Europe. You know, Czechoslovakia is like saying, no, we're resisting the Warsaw Pact. We're doing, you know, and Brezhnev was saying, oh, we'd never invade and all that kind of. 3 weeks later, boom, here come the tanks. So they were just, he was upset by this. And he saw an ad or somebody had a flyer, a promotion that we're going to Washington, D.C. to protest against, you know, the invasion of Czechoslovakia. So I guess they went to the Soviet embassy or something. So he got on the bus with some guy, went there, and what happened? Fee had bags of books, including, you know, Economics in One Lesson. You know, we had a bunch of, you know, Hazlitt and Rothbard and Mises and all this stuff in there. And they're just like, and he devoured this stuff. Well, you once you learn about all this stuff that the Saustrian economics, all this stuff that Ron Paul keeps going on about, this is what. So that's what you can see from his perspective why this fight is all about education. It's all about information. It's all about changing the culture. It's everything that I've been screaming about forever. You know, Bob and I have been doing this. You know, that's the whole thing we've been. That's why we got the printing press.
Got to free the minds.
Free the minds. So what? It was interesting him giving the history of what made him such an influential and powerful person in the movement and the position that he's in was when he was 13, he went and was given some libertarian books. And I'm going, you know, this is exactly what. So will we win now? I mean, what will it take? You know, it was freaking, you know, Julie Andrews singing, you know, the hills are alive with the sound of music. Doe a deer, a female. You know, that compared to what? V for Vendetta? This kind of impact they had. You know, when's the next wave? What's going to come? It's a cultural thing. You know, we've always known this. It's a cultural. That's why they have to lie. That's why they have to pen. That's where my optimism comes from. They got to spend trillions, tens of trillions of dollars with the mandatory youth indoctrination camps, a.k.a. the public school system, the government school system. You have government propaganda, corporate media, all this they need to be able to change us into a battery for the machine. And they'll sit there and scream about how much they're for individual rights and the proper role of government and the evil empire of and everything right up until it's their turn to do it, and then they do it.
Now, there was a country who took people into protective custody and put them in camps in their own country. And inside the country, they didn't kill them. They didn't hurt them too bad. They put them to work or whatever. And people knew about some of those camps. And then for those that the Belligerents Act was used against and their citizenship had been revoked, they took those people out of the country and shipped them to camps outside of the country, kind of like Guantanamo or some of these secret camps in the former Soviet, whatever, Eastern Bloc that we now run and bring people to. And it was in those camps where those people were killed. So the people in this particular nation truly didn't know that their own neighbors were being shipped abroad or wherever. They just thought they were sent to in protective custody to some, you know, jail facilities inside the country, and they'd be let out when the war was over.
Yeah, they had nice brochures,
and they did, and the movies even. They truly did not know. So if you think about it, in the United States, we're now building the exact same laws and the exact same camps and running them in the same manner. So anyone who loses their citizenship will be shipped outside of the country to one of these secret camps. Otherwise, people like you and me will be taken into protective custody until the crisis is over.
It could never happen here, unless, of course, you were Japanese.
Well, I'm talking about right now, and the laws that are being passed right now are the exact same ones that were passed in
yes.
this particular country.
This is, I could see it coming when I first started doing radio in February of 2003, before we went into the war and in Iraq. I mean, I had like Tony Snow on. You know, I mean, I was just grilling him. You know, I'm being nice at first. You know, he's wanting to promote his Fox News Sunday and so on before he became press secretary. But, you know, I'm just going, well, you were assistant communications director under Daddy Bush for Gulf War I. I'm sure you have an opinion. He didn't want anybody to talk about that. He didn't know that we were going to bring that up. And I'm going, yeah, you guys, it's all a scam. It's all a setup. Well, the one thing that was interesting to me is that they brought up this enemy combatant thing. And when that, what was his name, Walker, that kid that was fighting for Afghanistan, he didn't know anything about the U.S. coming. I mean, he's out in the middle of Afghanistan. I'm Muslim now. He's out fighting for his brothers, and all of a sudden they capture him, and we got an American citizen here that was opposing U.S. He joined kind of, you know, that's the way it should be. If you want to go fight for somebody, don't be sending somebody else. Don't go voting and spending everybody else's money to go send somebody. Get off your butt. Go your damn self. So I'm like, power to people, man. He wants to go over and fight and knock himself out. That's the way it should be, with whatever side. I don't care. You know, it's an individual thing. You know, you should have the freedom to go be stupid. You know, go over there and do whatever, get shot, kill, whatever. It's not my problem. You know, but then what happens? You know, they didn't know how to deal with it. You know, do we prosecute him as an American citizen? Is he a prisoner of war? How do they do it? Well, this is the solution they came up with. We're going to declare him an enemy combatant. You know, and when you declared an enemy combatant, the executive branch just arbitrarily just gets to do it. We decide. Boom. President goes, you're an enemy combatant. And that does what? It strips you of your rights. You don't have human rights. You don't have constitutional rights enemy combatant.
And now of your citizenship. Obama's now getting, if this Belligerent Act passed, he'll have, well, any executive will have the ability to strip you of your
And this is what I predicted when they did this. I go, you watch, when they do this, they're going to say, and this goes back even to Pat Buchanan running in 96. He was saying that only citizens should have access to, you know, fill in the blank. Well, the reason that our Constitution, did you ever wonder, how is it that you have an illegal alien gets kids that goes to public school? How is it that they get these programs? How is that? Where does that even come from? It's because our Constitution does not address the fact of whether you're a citizen or not. There is no mention of citizen in the 14th Amendment. All persons, individuals, human beings are created equally or treated equally under the law. You know, if you come up and you know, I pay taxes, I do this, I live here, they don't look for papers, please. So the problem is the welfare state. It's not the immigrant, it's the welfare state. Get rid of the welfare state. I don't care if you're from Montana. If you're coming and you're taking my money from me by a 45 to my forehead to take the money from me to redistribute to somebody else, I don't care if you're from Montana or Sonora. That's not the point. Stop stealing from me and you solve these problems. But I could see what they were going to do. They wanted to be able to strip you of your citizenship so that you get no constitutional rights. And once they can do that to anybody, they can do it to everybody, anybody they want. That's where we are right now. Oppose the man. Oh, and he's going to make sure you get opposed. We'll be right back.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
I want to break free. I want to break free. I want to break free from your lies. You're so self-satisfied. I don't need you. I've got to break free.
God knows! And just about everybody else I can tell, too. You know, we want to break free from what? From what? You know, the whole purpose of government was to defend my individual rights. So, you know, and it had nothing to do with citizenship. That had nothing to do with it. You're a human being here. Fog this mirror, okay? You're inside home base. You made it. You know, you're inside the jurisdiction here. Any kind of law that would apply to anybody, you get, you know, habeas corpus. You get to go before an attorney. You get to be charged with your crime. You get to face your accuser. You get, why? Why? Because you can fog a mirror. That's why. Because you're a human being.
Because all men
are created equal.
We're created equal, endowed by their creator. Or do we have separate creators? I don't think so. Not if you're from the Judeo-Christian background. We have the same creator.
And so, but that's all abandoned. You know what? You're not created in George Bush's buddy's image.
Ernie,
or
people
now.
Who are against those principles are evil by Judeo-Christian definition. And if I don't care if it's Republicans or Democrats or foreigners or whatever, if you're against what the founding fathers believed. On a religious perspective, that people are not created equal nor endowed by their same creator with certain inalienable rights. You are evil by any traditional definition of Americanism or of Judeo-Christian theology.
Ooh. Anybody stand convicted on that? You feeling bad about yourself? You wondering? Are you in this kind of a... cognitive dissonance thing. You got two ideas. You know, I'm not sure why I thought it, you know, but Rush said, but Glenn Beck said, but Fox News said.
Or you're anti-American, because those are American principles. Those are the quintessential American principles.
This is going to be settled. You know, and that's one thing that's going on this weekend. We're going to St. Louis for the National Libertarian Party Convention. I'm running for a national chair against, several other guys. Probably the most prominent would be Wayne Allen Root, the VP candidate under Barr. And he's making it very clear, man. He's all about polling. I mean, you hear me. I mean, that's what he says. It's what does the polls say? You know, what do most people want? What are they, you know, of course, on this immigration thing, is he going to look the libertarian principle? Heck no. He's going, well, let me stick my finger in the wind and see, you know, what, you know, which side dries. And I'm going, I understand his point because I've been up against it so long. The only thing is that he thinks he's new. He thinks this is a new idea inside the LP. He thinks that he's the first one to come up with it. I'm going to do it better anyway. We've been hearing this since forever. And what's happened is the more and more they start to really compromise on these types of issues, as real hardcore libertarians know what's coming. And like Dr. Paul, he knew. He's been mapping this out since forever. That's why he always votes no against everything. If it's not constitutionally provided for and it gives them the authority to even do it, you know, then you'll think about maybe you might
vote
no.
There's only two possible outcomes to this for an traditional American patriot. Number one is American patriots band together and kick the globalists out of our government and take this country back over. Or two, we end up in re-education camps. It's that simple.
Yeah, if you're advocating for what the founders would advocate for, you're an enemy of the state. And then, you know, an empire of lies, telling the truth is an act of treason. That's where we're going. And so I can see what has been happening. This isn't new. So what we wanted to do, myself and a lot of other activists, you know, like Bob and so on, we've been doing this a long time. Our main thing was, we're going to keep doing what we're doing, until when, and then we'll just, fade away into the, we'll just survive. We'll be the cockroaches. We'll come back out after it's all over. Because I don't think I'm going to be taking point for you guys. I remember when I first started radio, they go, well, Ernie, when it goes in you and I'll follow then, Oh, man, I'm not leading nothing. And don't even think I'm going to be on point for y'all. You're lucky I'm even telling you what's coming. I'm going to survive this. I don't know what the heck you're doing. Got chickens? I mean, I'm not going to be out there taking points, save your butt. This isn't about you. It's about me. It's about my family. It's about my kids. I'm selfish as heck. I'm doing it because I want to be free. And the only way I know how to do that is for everybody to be free. And if I don't advocate it for everybody, including illegal immigrants, to have their say in court, to have habeas corpus, to be able to be justly defended under our law. I mean, to be able to just have the same rights that we have. If you don't do that, well, what expectation are you going to have it for you when your turn comes? Because your turn is going to come. I guarantee you that, especially if you're going to be, resisting them taking everything out of your wallet and you're just lucky to get to keep anything. So I'm no, heck no. So we need to have a very clear decision in St. Louis. The Libertarian Party in convention has made a choice. And when I go around, that's why that. Right there is why I've been traveling the country. I'll take all the hits. Everybody, they'll pull pieces out of my radio shows and videos and all this kind of, Ernie said and whatever. Ouch, quit it. I don't care. I'm like, yeah. Do we know what this is about? This decision is about, is the Libertarian Party going to join this Libertarian Revolution? Either it is or it isn't. And it's global. And it has nothing to do with party. The Libertarian Party is a side effect of this Libertarian philosophy movement that was going on well before the party came around. It's not the other way around. To think that, the Libertarian Party created, it was like the Republican Party created conservatism. I mean, as if they stand for it anyway, whatever the heck it means. This is a big battle. It's an individual, the rise of the individual against the collective. And one point that I make in the most popular movies of the time, I mean blockbuster movies, what is it always about? It's always the individual against the collective. Braveheart, Patriot, Gladiator, V for Vendetta. I mean, it goes on and on and on. Big blockbuster movies are always the ones that are about the individual against the collective. And we're the libertarians. We're the hobbits. We don't want to be in charge of the Ring of Power. We want to chuck it in the fire of Mordor. Or you say, Jeff?
Oh, the new movie, Robin Hood, and National ID is the ring, by the way.
One ring to bind them and rule them all. And you know what that one ring is? Database.
And what was Sauron's symbol? It was the eye, the all-seeing eye.
Oh, well, it's all-seeing. Okay, it's always like, one thing, you remember the Total Information Awareness logo, Bob?
Oh, the original DARPA?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Describe that to people.
It was your, typical blue and gold government medallion symbol thing. You had a picture of a globe, like you're out in outer space looking back at the Earth, and it was this all-seeing eye, viewing down rays of control on
top of a pyramid.
It was the pyramid, the one from the back of the $1 bill.
Yeah.
So when we saw this, we thought that was a joke.
Yeah, I was like, this is going to be Saturday Night Live or Mad Magazine or something
that
wrote this. But it was their real logo.
That's them putting it in your face, just like 42 USC 666 requires a collection of driver's license, social security numbers for your driver's license.
They're just thumbing their nose at us. They're just having fun. You know, they changed that logo. I went and looked it up. They changed it, and it's kind of like the Total Information Awareness, TIA, and the A is kind of like a pyramid with a like a satellite going through it kind of thing, give the eye deal, you know. So it's kind of the same. Oh, John McCain's campaign signs. Those of you that don't live in Arizona, you know, you see these John McCain campaign signs. It has like this weird-looking eye thing in the center at the top. You know what I'm talking about, Jeff?
Yeah, they make this little scroll, and it's got that
star in the
weird
middle,
kind of,
you know, and I'm going, I'm like, wow, man.
It's the Egyptian Horus symbol for the all-seeing eye.
Yeah, no, it looks a lot like that. You know, these guys are, it's in our face. These people that design this, they're just going, na 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 na. That's what's happening. You know, so I'm going, all right, na 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 na, and we'll go up against them and have some fun.
So what's a patriot to do? You know, Ernie and Mr. Anderson here, they're libertarians. I'm a Republican, and I know they're going to laugh at me when they say this. They're going to shout me down, but I'm going to say it
all
anyway.
All same.
I'm a Republican, and the reason I'm involved as a patriot and as a conservative Republican, a religious one, is to bring the Republican Party back to its roots, traditional Republicanism that was there since Garrett wrote in the 1920s and 30s, limited, smaller government, no ring of power. Like, you know, I know you don't believe that, Ernie, but that's what Republicans were, the ones that fought FDR, and now we've become FDR. And it's sickening, especially in Arizona. We just passed a tax increase, an 18% sales tax increase. A Republican governor passed that in Arizona. She's proud of herself. And so is that Republicanism? I don't think so. So I know I'm here in a libertarian show, but I just needed to give the plug for patriots to get involved in the Republican Party. Contact me, jeff.greenspan, at campaignforliberty.com to find out how.
That bloody spot in my forehead healed up a few years ago because I was the same place you were. But, you know, I get tired of, you know, beating my head against the wall and you know, we used to call it what, the battered Republican syndrome?
No, the battered wife syndrome.
It's like, you know, where else are you going to go? You know, they'll sit there and play right in your face.
Oh.
Like, you know, we promised you that we'd be better, but now that we're in, we really won't. And what are you going
to
do about it?
Well, there are some of us like me, and I know there's others out there who are working very hard to change the Republican Party back to its traditional roots. And so if I have battered wife syndrome,
you know,
so be it.
You know, good luck to you. I hope you guys are successful.
Everybody has their role. You guys have your role.
You know, what Jeff will admit is how much I do to help you. I mean, you know, there's a lot.
I don't know what you're talking about.
We have a lot of people that do, you know, they're in the Campaign for Liberty. They're a lot of the activists here at a Freedom's Phoenix Workshop are precinct committeemen in the Republican Party. They are, in fact, we have one of them that's running as a libertarian against Russell Pierce, Andrea Garcia. Campaign for Liberty going, she was Republican precinct committeemen just hammering on it. You know, of course, we'll take on the battles wherever we can, but we're not deluding ourselves. You know, we understand where evil lurks.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
The Matrix is a system, Neo. That system is our enemy. But when you're inside, you look around, what do you see? Businessmen, teachers, lawyers, carpenters. The very minds of the people we are trying to save. But until we do, these people are still a part of that system, and that makes them our enemy. You have to understand, most of these people are not ready to be unplugged. And many of them are so inert, so hopelessly dependent on the system, that they will fight to protect it. Were you listening to me, Neo? Or were you looking at the woman in the red dress?
Well, what were you doing? Were you paying attention? Are you listening to me? This is what we are up against. We are up against an entire population that has been bombarded with BS. Their entire life. We have people now that, I don't know, I was born in 61. So that makes me, I'm almost 50. And my entire life started with what? In school, I was 67, 68. You know, I got the United States, man, we're going to the moon. We're landing on the moon. And, we're killing a bunch of people in Vietnam, okay? And, you know, it's war, anti-war, drugs, hippies, whatever, war. And then a little bit more war. Nixon comes in, war, Watergate. We have Iran hostage. You know, the oil spikes in the late 70s. We go off the gold standard in 71. Bretton Woods breaks down. Inflation starts going stupid. We have prices of gas is shooting through the roof. Inflation's going crazy. Finally, they had to, to save the dollar, they had to raise interest rates to 20-something percent. Then they're paying out for 30-year treasuries. It was like 15% just to get people to loan to us in the early 80s. It was just that started us down a debt spiral that we'd never recover from. They kept entitling people to all kinds of stuff, more programs. Then we get into Republicans in charge, and after 9/11, what do they do? The prescription Medicare thing, there's a trillion. We got more Obamacare, there's a bunch more. Heck, that was the Republican version of health care during Hillary care back in the Clinton administration. This is just anybody that's been paying attention for any amount of time, even cursorily. I mean, just a superficial veneer on reality here. You paying attention, you know that it's just a systematic ratcheting left, right of our rights just screwing us. This is not going to get fixed. You keep thinking this left-right thing. That's not what it's about. And they keep distracting you with shiny objects. What's a shiny object? Immigration. Shiny object. War on terror, shiny object. War, shiny object. Islamofascism, shiny object. It's just always a shiny object. Don't laugh. I mean, you're going to start hearing if they can't get you paying attention with Lord knows what, the Gulf of Mexico turn into an oil basin. I mean, if they can't get you distracted from something, we're going to have alien landings. Guarantee it. I mean, you watch. Pretty soon, I already started talking about it on CNN. No, what if, take me to your leader? This is because, and I don't care. I just know one or two. Could they be worse than Washington? Maybe.
But shiny object to distract you from what? From the lever of power. From using the power to control you and take your stuff. That's the what they're using shiny objects to distract you.
And that's another question. Do they have enough stuff? I mean, what is it that
there's never
they
for bad guys? It's there's nothing called enough. They want it all. They want 100%.
Eric and Sandy. Hoff's. Eric knew he's the Cartridge Family Band. They're a band that plays. He does another business that he does. He operates. He makes commercials. He does site location and so on for that. And he. We were having dinner one time, and he's getting more prepared. I mean, he kind of stocks up stuff and everything. He's got it going on. And his wife was kind of, I've known her for years. She's just kind of, all of a sudden, she's in it, man. She's like, absolutely, we need to get this and this and this. She's really in it. They're raising chickens now, and they got land, and they're building a house, and, they're going to survive this thing. And I go to Sandy. I said, why? I mean, what changed for you? She goes, a few years ago, I realized, and it was during some legislation, something they did. I can't remember what it was, but she goes, I realized something. And I go, what? What was your big epiphany? She says that enough was never enough. She goes, they're not going to stop. There wasn't enough.
This is an age-old battle. It's bad against good. It was talked about in ancient manuscripts in the Bible. This is nothing. It's nothing different. They want total control.
That's one thing that was interesting. In the Bible, they warned against this very thing. It's like this census. It was always, that was why Christ was running away. They went in the manger kind of thing. They were doing the census.
To Samuel, numbering of human individuals brings down 7 years of God's wrath in the form of pestilence.
They say, don't let them do this. This is because they understood through ancient times that, what does the rancher always want? To number the cattle.
And if you read Revelation, and this is what's hard for traditional Christians to understand, you read Revelation, 2/3 of the elect of the good Christians, of the saints, shall be deceived. And God is clear in Revelation, even if you're deceived, you are not excused because the teacher has already been sent. If you accept this new world order, if you accept this system of globalism, even if you're a good saint, you'll be condemned. And that's right in Revelation.
There's a young woman here. Her name is Renee Houlihan. Oh, her initials are Renee Houlihan, sorry. But she makes a lot of different movies. One of them she did recently is The Invisible Empire, done by Jason Burmes, of Loose Change fame. And he's done some other stuff and worked with Alex Jones a lot. And he did this one movie, and it really had an impact on her that she's made thousands of them. And she goes to Calvary. It's a big church up in North Phoenix up here, that where she goes. And she gave them to the pastor and the pastor's staff and everything. She goes, look, man, you know, this is, you guys really need to know this. Oh, this is huge. Maybe you want to get more and we'll pass them out to everybody. We all should know. She knew that they weren't going to do that, but she was like, you know, all optimistic that they're all, you know, giving that impression. I go, you really think that? She goes, no. So what she did is she told them that she was going to be passing them out. So for a few Sundays ever since then, for the past month or so, she's been out on the sidewalk, you know, off their property, just passing out these movies to all these thousands of people, just passing them out, you know, putting them on their cars, you know, doing
it. And to get the scope of this, CCV, this church, is like 5,000 people per mass or something, huge number.
Well, it's not mass. You're Catholic. It's a Southern Baptist non-denominational thing, whatever. You know, it's where my wife and I used to go there for a time. And my wife continued to go. But I could see once the war thing started, it was, you know, I got to get the Muslims. We got to support Israel, Christians for Jews or something. They were doing something. And I'm just going, wow, this is, and they are really hammering the Israel thing this last week of that, you know, you're going to go to hell if you don't. And this is all just kind of made up stuff. And I'm going, wow, 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 wow. So they're passing out these movies and it had an impact. You know, they're feeling the push. So they're targeting their sermons towards, you know, countering what's in the films. And so is this kind of impact that you can have? Is it having a positive impact? Do you want to be doing this kind of stuff? I don't know. She does. I mean, you know, that's what she's defined. So she comes down here, makes a bunch of them, and she stays up there every Sunday passing this stuff out.
And speaking of shiny objects, this whole Israel versus Muslim thing, I don't know whether you're pro-Israel or anti-Israel, it's another shiny object. Why? Because it's the government which is funding both sides of that feud, which is funding both sides of that war.
Yeah, with armaments, too. We had a story today. Israel, you know, admitted records they were trying to sell nuclear arms to South Africa.
It's just like on the Braveheart movie. I will oppose it from our lands in the south, and you will support it from our lands from the north. And they're the same people.
Why is the government funding both sides? Why has our government always been funding both sides? Because makes money in the process, but it's about control. If you fund both sides, guess what?
You control both sides.
Bingo.
You know, that's why when I have the Southern Poverty Law Center, Heidi Byrick on and so on, I just go, look, I just need to know something. If I don't want anybody taking my money and giving it to any country, to fund in any foreign aid, if I'm against them stealing from me and redistributing it, you know, poor people here, me, to rich people in poor countries over there, you know, because when we give money to North Korea, what do you think they do? They give the food straight to the people? Heck no, it goes to the military. So I'm going, you know, what is this hard to understand? I go, if I don't want any money going forward, including Israel, does that make me anti-Semitic? I just need to know, does it? Does it? Does it? Does it? Well, it wouldn't be prudent at this juncture to talk about it. You know, I'm just going, you know, of course it is. That's what they want. That's what this whole thing is. That's what the funding behind this is. Anybody opposing giving money to Israel, you're like a bad guy. And that's a big thing between me and Wayne Allen Root running for the LNC chair thing. He's like, no, you don't bring that stuff up, man. It scares the horses. We don't want to be talking about, you know, just cutting it here and there. Yeah, I'd like reduce it. I'd want, you know, kind of, but, you know, Israel's our friend. And I'm going, see, these guys aren't libertarian. They're looking at polls. This is. I hope today you just learned another perspective. I mean, even though Jeff and I and Bob, you know, we don't see everything exactly the same, but you know, we know this. We know we're being manipulated. We know you sure as heck are. We know that they're getting you to, you know, shiny objects over here, and it's hard. Yeah, for a lot of people, it's very difficult to come out against something that's popular, or they're just pushing the living crap out of on Fox News. And you want to know if you're being BS'd? You want to know when you're being brainwashed? It's when you're being overwhelmingly programmed. That's when you know you're being brainwashed, you know, because they're saying something, you know, because they're talking. Well, I just want you guys to know, I be on record, man. I am hardcore against this immigration bill here in Arizona. Not because it even addresses immigration. That's not even the point. It was all about what Jeff said. It's about turning over this data to the federal government and what's that's done. Once this thing is enacted, because they just signed it. It hadn't been enacted yet. It's got another couple of months before it is enacted. It's 90 days from the time they signed it. And when that happens, you will never get it back. Ever. Just FYI. And there were some people here fighting the fight. And if we keep having impact, they'll want us to shut up one way or another. But until then, we keep saying it. Well, I'm off for this week. We'll have some great shows for you this week. I'll see you when we get back from St. Louis.